I think he was the guy who's like told overhand served volleyball again. He was gonna get kicked out, and then proceeded to overhand serve a volleyball again. And then it was like, okay, well you gotta go get dressed and get out. And it was just like, man, that's some booty, coach. Like one of the worst exchanges of all time.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers about college football. And today, lifestyle.
A lot of lifestyle.
Big lifestyle, guys. We are today. You can find the Wheel Route at www.thewheelroute.com. You can send us emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. We are on Instagram, Wheel Route Podcast. We are on Twitter, right? What is the Twitter? Did I miss it? I don't know.
We're on Twitter at The Wheel Route.
At The Wheel Route on Twitter. Thank you, Jason.
And, those would be the emails that you're getting in your Gmail inbox, probably.
That's right. My name is Logan Whitehouse, though, and I'm coming to you guys from beautiful Stuart, Florida. I'm on Twitter, also, by the way, at LogOnTheDon. It's lovely in Stuart. Guys, we're supposed to have a day this week coming up. High, like 72. So, the Shacket will be in play. I might just have the Shacket in play just out and about in honor of Phil Longo. And then also to keep myself warm. Anyhow,
spoiler alert.
My name is Jordan Schenk. I am in chilly Harrisonburg, Virginia, where frost was on the rooftops this morning when I left for church. I'm on the social medias at Schenk Jordan. Guys, Ty Jerome has been balling for the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the non-ball knowers amongst us and our listeners, I just want that read into the record.
Is he coming off the bench? Like, is he getting like the Jay crossover treatment? Just green light, go.
I don't necessarily know that it's like volt green light go.
Okay.
I think he's more of a creator, a content creator, a basket creator.
I think I saw a tweet today celebrating an ESPN alert that said like Ty Jerome made 27-foot running jumper, and
yeah,
there was some celebration.
I do love that.
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. My name is Jason Breck. I'm also back in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where it was pretty balmy today, which is a bummer, but we persevere. I am on several social medias at Jason Kreck. And happy to be back with you guys. It's been a bit. It's been a full week.
It has been a full week. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, apologies. I don't know that we put any big blasts out there for everybody, but we did not record a Wednesday episode. A lot to catch up on.
It was posted on Twitter.
I need to get plugged back into the Twitter. It sounds like I'm struggling with our Twitter account. I did see your post about last week. I think I just need to talk to Elon about maybe getting my own content back in my own algorithm. I'd stop seeing his tweet.
That's your bigger problem, is that you're not seeing what you're supposed to see.
I believe that is the problem, the chief problem with the Twitters these days. But anyhow, that's for another time. You know, that's a different podcast. Am I right? Thank you for coming back with us. The boys were doing some traveling in and around the beautiful United States of America this week, and excited to recap that and talk a little ball with you guys. But first, are you guys drinking anything this evening?
Yeah, I have a pour of the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel tonight. My out of office emails are still sending for a few more hours. So cheers. Cheers to me and technology.
Love it.
Beautiful. I am recovering from our travels to be discussed later. So I am IVing some high quality water from my tap.
Excellent. Straight from the aquifer, the beautiful, the the bluestone aquifers up there in the hills.
Right out of Spitzer Lake out west of town.
Skidmark Reservoir, am I right? Got him. Jordan, joining you, I have a pour of this is Weller 107 this evening.
Go, oh yeah, brother.
Yeah, we're drinking the good stuff. Polish that one off. So,
congrats. That's a fun one.
It's a real celebratory air around these parts. You know, vibes are up. As you can see, the background continues to change here, boys. I don't know if you, yeah. I don't know if you noticed that, but we got some work. We got some work going on in here.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Have we finalized? Is that the color schema, or is there a different color going in the darker?
This is the color scheme.
Okay.
So, I think that I like it. There's a little bit of a yellowish tinge to this light that's in here, so it's a little less. It's more gray than it appears on the screen. I'm here to tell you. So, yes, it looks good. Shout out to the young, the progeny, the sequel. He's gonna love living in here. You know, it's good for him. So, all right, boys. So we got a lot. You potentially have a lot to talk about. You know, personally and lifestyle wise. But before we do that, we should probably just, you know, do a little housekeeping, a little college football housekeeping. We did have a college football weekend, right? Coaching, any coaching moves that jump out to you guys that we need to talk about? I did see Wisconsin has fired their offensive coordinator, Mr. Phil Longo, aforementioned. One of the most cop-looking guys since Butch Jones was walking the sidelines.
They're a dying breed.
Yeah, you do hate to see another flat top go by the wayside.
Those high-end tights, they're just running out of steam.
I think that was always a weird fit, Phil Longo at Wisconsin. At least, like, as you understood Wisconsin. And like Luke Fickle didn't run like a Phil Longo offense when he was at Cincinnati. So like, to me, it just kind of was like a bad marriage from the start. And I don't know, Wisconsin probably is also dealing with like being moved down like three rungs in the Big Ten based on just new additions to that conference. So I don't know, just been a little bit of a bumpy ride there for Fickle and the boys. I don't think his seat is that warm, but this is definitely like a
significant hire for next year, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I think like he's got a. He is probably going to win six games this year. Maybe, and he probably needs to win seven or eight without breaking a sweat to not feel iffy after next year. So, yeah, it's a big hire.
Yeah, I don't know that was a bad marriage from the get go. It feels more like they took a swing to try and do something different and maybe create some separation or differentiation in the B1G, and it didn't work. So I guess I want to applaud Fickle in a way for trying, but time to cut your losses at this point and focus on maybe a more feasible direction for that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Luke Fickle's like a defensive coordinator guy, right? And teams usually play pretty good defense. He was Ohio State's defensive coordinator. I know, you know, that was kind of where he got his start before Cincinnati and everything. But yeah, I think it was just like kind of a weird fit when probably they wanted to play, you know, sound defense. And then you have kind of like the Longo, like, get off the field as fast as possible offense, whether it's a score or no score. And they just haven't been scoring enough, right? It just hasn't worked out. So, I mean, it is what it is. If they'd been scoring 35 points a game, probably wouldn't get fired, right?
Sure.
The Ball State head coach changed.
Who was the Ball State head coach?
Mike New, or New, however you pronounce it.
Newville?
Hey.
He'd been there since 2016, so this was his ninth season. Never won more than seven games, and he went 7-1 during the COVID season. Other than that, he only won six games once, only went to one bowl. But they have gotten one win like worse every year since COVID. So I guess they decided to make a move. I don't really know, like, what you can expect from Ball State. I don't know who takes that job. Probably like a Big Ten position coach.
Yeah, I think the MAC jobs are going to be just a tough sell moving forward.
Like, I think that's right. He was
outside of like maybe just Toledo,
yeah,
Ohio. Yeah, I mean, like, other than those two, or a handful of those.
But he was a Ball State graduate. No, he graduated back in like 1994 or something like that. But
the Dark Ages. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how desirable some of those jobs are going to be. They can't pay great. It's going to be tough to win. There's a lot going on. But
yes,
that was the only other coaching change, I believe, since our last get together.
Okay. Do we need to check the vibes meter on the coaching carousel? You guys got any changes there? I think Trent Dilfer has got to be vaulting up the board continuously week over week.
Yeah, I think he's probably the most like red alert definitely needs to be fired, but I am not 100% sure they're going to do it.
I mean, I think UAB is probably in a similar position to like some of the MAC schools, right? It's like, I mean, at a certain point, like how many times can you readily like expect it to be a whole lot better if you just make a change, right? I mean, that's tough. I think UAB is much more well positioned just like footprint wise, like probably attracting some Southern talent.
Recruiting footprint, and they're in the American and have a little bit of money from that. But I mean, they're 2-8 and firing Trent Dilfer would mean admitting that they made a pretty egregious mistake, because that would be after only 2 years. But it looks every day like more and more of a just really, really bad screw up.
Right.
Because they're not getting better. They look real bad.
That's right. But anyhow, okay. Well, I mean, it is about to be, you know, I think firing, big time firing season. We're starting to see some
pre-coming
moves. It is definitely coming. I think you're going to see some like big time offensive coordinator paydays based on what we've seen so far. So you're going to be some high profile positions open, Florida State, Wisconsin, things of that nature that are going to need to hire some names, I'm guessing.
Virginia. Hey, Phil Longo, come on down to Charlottesville.
There's a match.
There we go. That could work.
And I wouldn't hate it.
Want to get revenge over North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Motivated.
Right. A motivated cop. We love a motivated cop, you know?
Sometimes.
Ready. It worked great in Charlottesville last time.
Okay. Ready to roll. Okay. Let's do a quick whip around for the week here. It's going to be hard not to stay on the, there was just some weird results. There's some weird results this week that we should touch on. I think this is a bit of a sleepy week. We also had a good mix of like SEC teams play Mercer games this weekend too, which is one of my least favorite things that happens for some strange reason right before rivalry weekend. Somehow Florida avoided one of those, you know, God forbid they have an easy game, you know, at the end of the season to get the vibes up a little bit. But Oregon played at Wisconsin, precipitated the firing of Mr. Longo, managed to win 16-13. This was a weird score. Oregon seemed to kind of luck out a little bit at the end. I think Wisconsin had the ball with an opportunity to tie or win, and Oregon did intercept a pass off a deflection and got out of there with the win.
Yeah, so Oregon tied the game late at 13. They were driving, had a good drive mid fourth quarter, did not capitalize into a touchdown, settled for a field goal, had another good drive cooking, could not convert a fourth down or a third down, so they brought the field goal unit out and ran a fake field goal up three on the road, got stopped a yard short. The holder just didn't have the acceleration needed to really hit the hole as hard as say a running back would.
Meandered a bit.
Yeah, and then Wisconsin gets the ball deep in their own territory, and one or two plays later, Mr. Uyunglele, the brother of DJ, intercepts a tipped ball. So, yeah, they won. They did the job, but they didn't look crisp doing it.
Did you watch? Okay, you didn't really take in a ton of this.
We listened to some of this on the radio.
Okay.
Bombing down 81.
Nice. So. Very good. I was pretty indisposed. I watched a little bit of Tennessee, Georgia. That was about the only other game I also got. Ohio State, Northwestern happened.
Yeah.
Good for Ohio State and Northwestern. Texas only beat Arkansas 20-10.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to me.
I think I saw that Arkansas cut it to 3. Texas put together a nice touchdown drive to go up 10. They then forced a turnover and ran out the remaining 7 minutes of the game.
Wow. Big boy. Big boy.
Put the ground and pound on them.
I was listening to Scott Van Pelt's podcast today, and he posed the question, what does Texas do awesome? And I think it's kind of an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think that they've been, I'm not saying they're mid, right? I do think that they have sort of lacked a little bit of, they put the pause on Florida last week. I think Florida kind of punted on, I'm going to be honest. I don't think Florida really put a whole lot of effort into that game, given the situation, but like, I just feel like Texas hasn't had, and maybe they haven't had a need to, but I haven't seen a lot of like Top Gear Texas. I feel like we really thought they were awesome after that Michigan game, and Michigan turned out to not be very good.
Yeah, they've got their quality wins that looked like quality wins at the time have kind of faded a bit. Yeah,
right.
Like they hammered Oklahoma when Oklahoma was in the top 20, and that some shine has leaked off of that.
just some.
A bit. But they, you know, I don't think it's wrong to say it's whether you look at it glass half full or glass half empty. I don't think they can't point to a unit like South Carolina's defensive line, or, you know, it's not like Quinn Ewers is in the Heisman mix or something like that. I guess they're like a B plus at everything, which I think, to be fair, probably makes you a top 7 or 8 team in the country.
Yeah, and I think they're probably an A roster, right? I think they're constructed well. Yeah. I do think they have talent everywhere, and they're like relatively healthy, so it's all good. I just, I guess I would kind of slot them in as like maybe a little bit more untested than
they think.
And I don't know who you could really say like is super tested, right? Like Oregon. Yeah, Georgia, and they've you know, Georgia's almost lost like 4 times, so you know, and they but they passed
the only ones that can play. They have passed a couple of those guys and mostly passed a stout schedule. Everybody else is just arguing about which single signature win or one
exactly
not so bad loss is better, and you know,
which I think like the rest of this year is going to be awesome because of that, right? I think there's the playoffs are going to be interesting. You're going to have compelling games. Like weirdly, Notre Dame has kind of like been like really awesome the last like 6 weeks or so, just running them off, like looking really good, and their defense is really, really good.
Do you think they're very tested though?
No, nope. Not particularly. You know,
there's probably 8 or 10 teams in that tier that you can say,
yeah,
like, well, we're pretty sure they're really good, like top 10.
With the way that the conferences are bigger now, like, there are some teams that are going to sort of like at the beginning of the year, you're going to look at their schedule and be like, oh, it's a tough schedule. And then the way things kind of conk out, it's going to be like, oh, they weren't, they kind of like Georgia last year had a really easy schedule, right? Given relative to like what an SEC schedule like could be. And, you know, they looked awesome last year, probably because of it. And this year they don't have a very easy schedule. They have a hard schedule and they don't look quite as awesome. So, I mean, that sometimes it can be that simple. Anyhow, this isn't a big thing. If Texas wears the all whites, they look awesome. That's when they look elite, I think. That's for sure. So, okay.
Oh, before we move off Texas, Sark, another interesting pair of sunglasses yesterday.
Oh, I missed it.
I haven't seen it.
Big, like the mirrored lenses were like burnt orange mirror.
Ooh.
Which I see what you're going for. But man,
yeah, that's
the execution wasn't quite
there. That's very like a Stuckey's, you know, roadside stop kind of vibe. Purdue took another fat L. I think Purdue's lost like 5 games this year by 35 or more points. Not a good year for the Boilermakers. They need to dig deep and have some pride. Kansas took down BYU. This was a pick Phil stop that I just careened into, so that's my bad.
No, it's fine.
The boys were all on BYU here. Kansas has been good like the last 3 weeks. Like they seem like they've woken up, and like we're getting like the Jalen Daniels Kansas thing going again after like the rest of the year sort of just not it hasn't been happening.
We talked about this last week of like, man, this game's really like, this line is really low. This seems like, what are they seeing or not? We kind of sort of like, well, Kansas is like, they've looked okay, and this is, they started coming out, but we all picked BYU anyways. And so,
right.
I will say, BYU would have had a better shot and possibly would have won this game, except they fell victim to a muffed, like quarterback punt.
Oh, yeah, quick kick. There was a quick kick by Kansas, right?
I guess it wasn't muffed. It just caromed off a BYU defender, and so Kansas basically, like, rugby punted a ball forward and recovered it 25 yards downfield, and I believe scored the game-winning touchdown off that. So, one of those things. I did not stay up to watch that one. I sacrificed my sleep for one game.
You know, BYU, I would invite you to score more than 13 points against against Kansas. If you want to win the whole game, you should plan on scoring more than 13 points
at home.
Yeah, so BYU had the ball in the red zone with a chance to win the game with a touchdown. They could not tie with a field goal. So they ran some putrid running plays. It was like first and goal. It was the classic, like, first and 10 from the 12 or 13. So you could get a first down, but it's probably not going to happen. You're probably just going to score. I think they eventually went into fourth and eight, maybe.
Mm.
And they ran speed option into the short side of the field and just got blown up on the sideline.
Speed option into the short side of the field is one of the, it's like a goal line fade. It's on the Mount Rushmore of, like, plays I hate to see the most.
You would like to be outlawed.
Yeah, yes. That I don't want to see them coming up, like, with zero wrinkles, just like lumbering Retzlaff, the quarterback, just like running off the edge. Like, come on, what are we doing? All right. Well, BYU falls from the ranks of the unbeaten. Things are shaping up pretty good for Colorado, side note, in the Big 12. Yeah. So
you're not wrong.
Anyhow, we'll just go through. We'll just keep motoring through here. And if we catch some Pickville games, we will. Another Pickville game, Tennessee, Georgia. Tennessee jumps out to a 10-0 lead in this game. I was watching this in the Sig Epp house at the University of Florida.
Don't spoil your lifestyle segment later.
Sorry. I was in the alumni room of the Sig Epp house catching a little bit of this. It was a vibe, as you could imagine. I saw Tennessee score and kind of go up. Georgia seemed like they were doing their typical farting around thing. Looks like Georgia got it into gear. And they were doing a good job getting the ball to the tight ends and just kind of not being the inept Georgia that we've seen. So I don't know. I'm not really sold. I personally don't think Tennessee is very good. I've taken in a lot of Tennessee. There's something wrong with them on offense. There's some drops issues. There's some overthrow issues, and like, they can't seem to get the sequence of those things down for them to hit any big plays. And it like kills what Heupel's trying to do on offense.
The fun and correct thing to say at the beginning of the year when Nico was throwing it all over the yard and things were fun against, you know, NC State and all that stuff was like, oh, but as fun as that is, their defense is winning them games, which was true. But eventually your offense has to score some points. And I believe they have run into some opponents that don't offer that option as much. And from what I've heard, they kind of shot themselves in the foot enough in the second half, but they got blanked in the second half, I think.
Yeah, there's 40 points in the second half. There's some chatter about some bad calls, but, you know, maybe you should score some points at any point in the second half of football games.
Yeah, right. And I think it should be pointed out that Georgia has done now a consistently good job against Heupel Tennessee offenses.
Yes.
Like, I saw a tweet that the past three Georgia-Tennessee games, Tennessee quarterbacks Hooker, Milton, and now Nico have zero total passing touchdowns in three games.
Wow.
Just that.
Powerful stuff there. So good for Georgia. Good to see them back in the mix, you know. We love that for Georgia. All right. Quickly, Virginia, good teams win, great teams cover. Virginia covered against Notre Dame. Go down 35-14 there. A late score gets them inside the line there. So
it's good. Yeah, I didn't tap into this at all. I checked the box score real quick. Don't know if Calandry got hurt or pulled, but Tony Musket, two rushing touchdowns in the second half to secure the cover.
It's great. Good for the Hoos. Alabama crushed Mercer. Boise State takes down San Jose State when Boise was down early in this game. They stick with Janty, another just 160 and three touchdowns for Mr. Ashton. So good for him.
It's gonna be interesting with Boise State and BYU's loss to see if the committee re-slots in the Big 12 champ ahead of Boise State. Because if they don't, and if the Big 12 cannibalizes itself enough, Boise State could very certainly be the fourth-ranked conference champion and get a bye to the quarterfinals, which would be very funny for me. But it would deprive us of playoff Smurf turf, which would be a bummer.
That's true. So wait, that second round of games are not...
No, the second round, because college athletics is built on making sure people get paid. They have to go, like, those quarterfinal games are the Fiesta and the
people getting paid that aren't, you know, not the ones who are actually playing the games.
No, God forbid.
Other people.
Well, Logan, like, in the United States of America, corporations are people.
The Tostitos, right. The Tostitos people. We need the Tostitos boys to get paid for your various Fiesta Bowls and Fiestas Bowls and things of that nature.
Yes, the only on-campus games are the first round, the 5-12 and the 6-11 and stuff.
So for this, gotcha. All right. SMU sort of held on against Boston College and pulled away late. This one was like 31-28. I was checking the score in Ben Hill Griffin. This one kept popping up, and I was like, huh, interesting. Wonder what's going on there. I don't think Castellanos played.
No, he's like, he like left away the from the program now.
He got benched and is transferring. So
how? Okay. I'm forever interested in the guy that's just going to transfer like now, like, okay, but he's going to play great for Miami next year. Can't wait for that. So, all right. Texas A&M does the thing. Arizona State, shout out to Arizona State, Kenny Dillingham and the boys, 8-2. If I was to tell you that Arizona State was going to be 8-2, that's crazy. Good for them. Take down Kansas State, 16th ranks of Kansas State, Kansas State. Get them out. They're on get them out watch. I think they might be on get them out watch. I'm sorry. Kansas, there can only be one team from Kansas in the mix, and the Jayhawks are back. So,
Lance Leipold, you're back.
I need Avery Johnson to like show any improvement. Like, I don't know what
it's pretty much the same.
It seems like it's just such a like a junk ball, like insane approach on offense. And if it gets into a game where like he has to throw the ball, like, predictably, it's over for them.
Yeah,
they're tough, but their quarterback maybe leaves a little bit to be desired. Colorado put the paws on Utah. New Mexico took down Washington State.
Yeah, they did. We got Bronco tears. Got a Kool-Aid bath.
Broncos, big beautiful boys, out here doing it. They're 5-6,
which is nuts. They were awful at the beginning of the year.
This is their last game. Oh, at Hawaii. Like, they're probably going to go to a bowl. A
very winnable game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Stanford takes down Louisville. What are you doing, Louisville?
Just hilarious. So funny.
Louisville's like a more extreme version of Georgia Tech, right? Like,
they're a faster Georgia Tech.
They show up for big games and then they just like, there's going to be just some horrific blips on the radar, I guess. I don't really know what to say there. Clemson ekes one out against Pittsburgh. Friend of the podcast, Nate Dodge, big Pittsburgh guy, was really tweeting through it. I was getting the texts were not coming in well in the stadium on Saturday. And so I was getting like the painful delay of a Pitt fan experiencing this game. But just a really bad angle taken by a Pitt safety on Mr. Cade Klubnik on like a rumbling, bumbling, stumbling 40-yard touchdown run with like a minute left to win the game for Clemson.
We watched that on a phone and it was we were like, oh, no, they definitely had him, and then they didn't, and it's Cade Klubnik. It's
We were boarding the plane, and I needed Clemson to keep my parlay alive.
Oh, no. Okay.
I almost yelped in the middle of the walkway.
Let's go!
Go, Cade, go!
You should have hit him with the let's go, like that basketball coach did, like in the middle of the team. He was just like, let's go!
Yeah, that was North Florida head coach Matt Driscoll. Shouts out, my guy.
Yeah. There was a Pablo Torre Finds Out episode about the phenomenon of Let's Go, and they had him on. It was great. It was a great bit. All right.
Wonderful.
in what I would have judged as one of the most unwatchable games of all time, like 6 weeks ago, Missouri played South Carolina, and look, a veritable just cavalcade of points showed up in this game, 34-30. South Carolina ekes it out. Lenora Sellers went 21 of 30 for 353 and 5 touchdowns, which is insane. It's crazy. So South Carolina, listen, they should have beat LSU earlier this year, and they could have beat Alabama if, I mean, 9-1.
Lenora Sellers gives and takes away. That's the 2024 South Carolina.
You know what he did? He gave away his rec specs, and he took
the rec specs had dubs. To die.
Yeah,
so that the QB efficiency, so that
Coach Shane could start experiencing glory. I was
with like a minute left in this game.
Yes, I know. I was on Missouri to cover here. I like Missouri's ability to stay in a game and make things disgusting. They're the new Kentucky. Missouri's the new Kentucky, people are saying. I don't think Drew Pine played in this game, which might be why Missouri scored more than 0 points. Also, side note. So just keep your eye on that. Skip over that. Tulane takes down Navy. I think the shine is off Navy. They've run into some decent teams here. And a fun one in the swamp, guys. A fun one in the swamp.
Well, before we get to that, Jason, how'd the Dukes do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. The Dukes extended their winning streak over Virginia football teams to 20 games.
Wow.
With a 35-32 win in Norfolk, Virginia over the Old Dominion Monarchs.
The Royal Rivalry?
Royal Rivalry. That is that's an all-sport competition, not necessarily a rivalry game. Okay. But
not a trophy game.
No, there's not a football-based trophy for this game.
They should play it for a scepter with like a football on top. Embezzled.
I think you can make a wild trophy for this one.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it got hairy at points in this one.
It seemed to. The score seemed to indicate that it was close. It was like, wasn't this like a 28-24 game for a while or something like that?
So Jamie was up 18-7 early in the second, and then ODU went on a big run and led by 3 at halftime. And then the JMU defense just kind of shut them down the entire second half. ODU had 8 points in the entire second half, and that was with a minute left to try to get back in range. But yeah, kind of a complete performance from the Dukes. Didn't turn the ball over, 425 yards. Alonzo Barnett had one touchdown through the air, 2 on the ground. The Dukes are now 8-2 and need only one loss from Georgia Southern in either of their last two games to control their own destiny in the Sun Belt East, which is impressive considering I believe they lost their first two Sun Belt games. Two of the first three Sun Belt games. So,
wow,
8-2 is a heck of a year already for a team that has half of its All-22 in Bloomington, Indiana this year. So, go Dukes!
I hadn't heard that before, so it's good to be reminded of that.
Every single week, because JMU fans need reminding because they're done.
They'd be in the playoff. They'd be a playoff contender, Jason, if they had all the
aggregate roster. Absolutely.
That's right. Hot Bob. Imagine Hot Bob with that roster. Oof.
Cooking.
Let my man cook. Good. Go Duke. Speaking of cooking.
Yeah. So speaking of cooking, the boys did not cook in Pickville this week. We all went 2-3. We've covered 4 of the 5 games we picked. The 5th game was the earliest on the slate. We saved that for last.
Yeah.
Because Logan had a lifestyle adventure on Saturday.
Is this our transition into the lifestyle segment? Are we missing any college football stories before we transition?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
The only other one that jumped out at me was the South Alabama Jaguars handed the Raging Cajuns their first Sun Belt loss.
That's true.
Wow.
That's significant for Sun Belt Championship game hosting positioning.
So there you go. Never let it be said that I don't respect the Fun Belt.
That's right.
I will.
Logan, please continue.
I will not say it. No, guys, it was a great banner day for Logwan. Must say, scored an invite to go to Gainesville to take in the LSU game, and, you know, wasn't going to turn that down. Was not super thrilled about the prospects of going to this game like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when, you know, things were kind of taking shape. But Gators have been looking a little better. DJ Lagway was announced that he was going to play in this game midweek, and that kind of really started getting the juices flowing a little bit. I started to believe a little bit. Yeah, actually, you know, finally some business connections coming through. You gotta hand it to the business connections. Shout out to friends of the podcast now. Also, side note, friends of the podcast who so let me be sure to say only the nicest of things to my group from Palm Beach County. They picked me up at 9 a.m. and we rolled to Gainesville, made it up there 1:30. We had a lovely barbecue tailgate spread, some light beers, some non-light beers, a couple bathroom stops at the Stephen F. O'Connell Center, the O-Dome. Beautiful facility. They got it wide open for the bathrooms. The O-Dome looks great. Shout out to them on the renovation. They did a great thing. But yeah, I mean, it was a proper Florida football like vibe in the air, right? It was packed, sellout. I think they announced like 90,600 people at the game. So that was cool. I do also want to just the man in charge of the weather machine. It was just a virtuoso performance of a North Florida
football
day.
Weather.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably like hot in the direct sun. I'm probably talking like 80. It was probably 80 in the direct sun, like at kickoff. But we had nice seats, really nice seats. Could not have been more on the 50-yard line, about 18 rows up. Got to take it all in. Got to see Billy just in his bag doing his thing. Yeah, I mean, the 3:30 kick in November in Florida is great because the game starts in broad daylight and ends in absolute darkness. So you get the full experience of day and night. And, yeah, I was like genuinely, like the won't back down thing was so cool to see. Like, especially when it was dark, and you kind of realize like, oh yeah, they're gonna do it now. So you sing We Are the Boys, and then the lights like all go off and like all the phones come on and they play the song and just everybody just belting it out and singing. That was really cool. So like all the vibes related stuff was great for sure. And then it also helped that like it was a hell of a football game. Like I was probably one of the more like even games of the weekend, I guess you could say. Back and forth, LSU kind of dominated box score wise. I don't know if you guys got a look at this. Like, they ran more than double the number of plays Florida ran.
Florida only ran like 46 plays or something like that.
I think Florida ran 43 plays and LSU ran like 92. That's insane. Yeah. But yards per play, Florida averaged like 8 yards per play, 7.9 yards per play, I think, and LSU averaged like less than 5. Like, it was like 4.2 yards per play. So the total yardage was close to even. Maybe LSU had a few more yards just because they had a few more possessions. But Florida's defense did the thing where they did struggle to get off the field on third down. There was a lot of yelling on third downs that was like, oh, you know, it's like kind of air sucked out. I think Florida played like a very good version of the – like we talked about all year, red zone roulette kind of defense. They stiffened at the right time. They sacked Nussmeier 7 times in this game. I saw he'd only been sacked 6 times all year. He got sacked 7 times in this game, which was weird because they were like, I mean, coverage sacks too. Florida's not really getting like dudes running off the edge unblocked, you know, careening into the quarterback, but made things miserable. LSU ran the ball okay. They just kind of like couldn't score and they had to settle for field goals. And there was some, you know, some just interesting coaching moves. You know, I don't really think this was a battle of, you know, strategic geniuses here. Didn't love some of Kelly's moves at the end of the game to try to keep his team in it. Kind of kicked a weird field goal when he was down 7 to be down 4 and then kicked the ball back to Florida and then have to like still have to score a touchdown. Right. You know, so I guess you win with the touchdown, but you don't necessarily do yourselves any favors. They opted for like, it was a longish field goal too. It wasn't that short. So, but, Yeah, I mean, Lagway clearly still very limited in the pocket. They kept him in the pocket all game. Billy said as much after the game. There are zero designed run plays for him. Florida didn't even really try to run the ball very much in this game, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I must say, like, when they get his footwork cleaned up a little bit, I think he's going to be, like really, really good. The arm talent is crazy. His natural, like, move is to step up in the pocket. I don't know if you saw the one almost touchdown pass he threw, but, like, pressure like on his sides, like we're standing there like seeing it happen, right? Like pressure comes at him and he just like just cool, calm, just three steps forward in the pocket, and then he kind of like doesn't have to be on platform at all, rips it down the field, and you know, completion at the 1 yard line, and then they punch it on the next play. But he can just do things like that that were not on the table when Mertz was in the game, right? Like Mertz just didn't have the ability. He was a good enough athlete, and he made really good decisions, but those sort of like gotta be a playmaker kind of plays, DJ certainly can do it. He does miss guys. He had two interceptions just absolutely dropped in this game too. So, you know, it's really nice when those things work out for you, but they did work out in this game. I think I was really impressed with Florida's sort of like, maybe it's a little cheesy, but like the sort of stay in the fight thing, right? They like definitely the defense especially stayed in it all game, and
they didn't back down.
They did not back down. Nice. And yeah, it was really cool. Stadium was rocking. It was super loud. Game finished at night. It was kind of cool. The moon had like, it was like a full moon almost, like had just like crested over the top of the swamp that we could see like right over the top of the stadium as like they were in victory formation, which was really cool. I don't know. It was just like, I was vibing my face off. It was great. Loved it.
Yeah. That'll give you the tingles.
Yeah. Yep. Had the tingles, numerous opportunities for the tingles. So, it was good. Yeah. Really, really happy. I saw Florida picked up a quarterback commit today too. Kid decommitted from Florida State 2 days ago, 4-star. So interesting things there. They had a bunch of recruits in town though. I saw 35, you know, plus kids were there, ready to take in a pretty cool environment and atmosphere. And it was really neat. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to go to Gainesville when I get the chance. And I'm just saying, also, I don't think I've ever seen Florida lose when I played live, just side note. So if anybody wants to invite me, you know, to some games.
To the cocktail party.
Yeah, to the cocktail. Yeah, yes, we can do that. Like I said, we did kind of get the walking tour after the game. Made it to the SIGEP house, which was great. Love that. Nothing awakens the echoes like 1,100, you know, crushed cans of neutral seltzer on the ground, and just like some dudes chilling on couches. I really loved seeing that. You know, I loved being back in that environment.
For me, it was all the like the long composite tables with garbage bags on top to aid with the cleanup. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Someone was asking like, so who like cleans all this? Like someone that cleans all this up, which is a good question. I don't recall.
The pledges do.
Yeah, probably the pledges or some sort of staff. Big frat houses, large complexes there.
I can see that.
You know, so a lot of bros for sure. But yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. Really, really good time. We had a bit of a snafu with our Airbnb in which we ditched it and just drove home last night also. So I rolled into my house around like 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
But shout out to Mr. BW for driving us, being a responsible dad, and driving the boys around all weekend. That was very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's all I got, guys. I was in Gainesville. I had a blast. It's good to go to a game. You do realize you miss every single other game, but it was fun to do like the full experience, right? We tailgated, we threw the football around, the vibes were up. We drank beers in the parking lot. You know, it was great. Nice to be
parking lot beers remain undefeated.
Yes. Yes, for sure. We even did it right too. Jason, you might remember, we found some people, gave them $40 and parked in their yard, you know, as the good Lord intended. That's the way to do it at a Florida game. So yep. Anyhow.
Gotta fund the beer money for the year by parking and gas.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. Any questions? I'm here to take questions. Otherwise, we can move on to other lifestyle.
Jason, go.
You, my first question has nothing to do with the game. You said you had, what was, be specific about the barbecue. You had pregame?
Oh, it was it was Four Rivers Barbecue. You know, kind of like a upscale Sonny's, if you will. You know,
I'm familiar. You got so you got a mix.
Yeah. There was like a spread. It was probably like their tailgater pack, you know, spread for like 12 people or something. Yeah. So it was good. Some sweet potato mash actually made it in. Ooh. Some mac and cheese. That. I saw some brisket. I saw sliced pork. I saw pulled pork. There was sausage. Yeah, it was good.
Got everything you need.
Yes.
Does the Swamp have any notable like stadium cuisine where they're like, oh, you gotta get the swamp dog when you go to a Gator game?
So we had just eaten
pretty standard.
I think it's
like,
pretty
Aramark fare.
I'm guessing it's pretty standard. So the set of tickets that this group has that we're going with, I think they have 10 total tickets. They have two blocks of four sort of on the 50 at various levels. And then they have a block of two in the touchdown terrace. And I was not selected, nor did I volunteer to go to the touchdown terrace. But I heard that that was like a full catered situation in there. But I think it was
passing
like,
the wristband.
I heard there was, and I quote, lots of desserts and some chicken tenders. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that notable other than the, you know, the Tom Petty double petty you know burger or something like that. I couldn't tell you. They do sell booze, like I guess booze is just it can happen at all college sporting events now far and wide.
I think much like online sports betting, the parameters have been relaxed a lot over the last several years.
I remember when it was first a thing at UVA, it was like you can drink a beer here, but you have to stand
in
this, like,
enclosed
area, garden. In the beer garden. Like, who's just gonna go shotgun a Mick Ultra just for the sake of doing it?
Get like the 16-ounce, like very hoppy double IPA. Three Notch or
Lagunitas. Let me get them. What's the craft beer? What's your local craft beer?
Can I get a 90-minute from Dogfish Head?
Just immediately.
Star Hills Frost IPA or something.
So sweaty. Just so fast. Just your body's rejecting it. But yeah. Yeah, I saw a lot of people walking around with the Big Dog of High Noons, which, you know, I'm a proponent of the Big Dog of High Noon. That's my go-to golf beverage on a drinking golf outing. I love the Big Dog of High Noon. So, yeah, that was good. We had some snacks in the car too, some leftover Halloween candy. It was a real like washed dad scene in the car, and in a minivan.
The boys have broken loose.
Yeah,
they've broken contain.
They've broken contain. There's like a sack of just candy, and there's a sack of just some like various like chips and like Rice Krispie treats.
We don't need post game food. We have post game food in the car. We don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Three different blends of sunflower seeds floating around the cab.
I will say that I do have to hand it to the guys for making a swift decision on aborting the Airbnb. If we had decided to go to dinner right after the game and then like showed up at the Airbnb like hammered at 11:30, we would have all decided to sleep in the Airbnb, and I don't think it would have been tough. Our decision would have been made for us. The Airbnb claim purports that it slept six. I don't know that I would account.
So you got to look at it before you aborted.
Yes, right. So anyhow, we've learned some lessons. We're going to make some improvements to the process. We're going to refine the process moving forward. We made it home in one piece though. So shout out to the boys. But it was great. Oh, a side note. They do an excellent job in stadium. Jordan, you'll maybe like this, of deploying the Go DJ song. When we need to get the vibes up. Yep. So, you know,
that's a great pull by whoever's running.
It's subtle. It's kind of subtle. And you realize it. You're like, oh God, I love this. This is great.
Shouts out to the University Athletic Association marketing team.
Yes.
And to Manny Fresh.
What was the reception like for Saturday's Mr. Two Bits?
Oh, Rex Grossman? God, yeah. I was frothing. He looks so good. He looks great. He looks like he hasn't aged a day since college. He's still like he's kind of portly. I think the key to not looking like you age is always like maintaining a little baby fat in the face. And he still has it. He still looks like he could just strap it up and close his eyes and throw deep. So
I love that.
It was great. I think that's a hilarious tradition. It's fun. We were there, some people that weren't Florida fans necessarily, or
they weren't familiar
Florida fans. Yeah. So it's always fun to see people take in the random bizarre traditions. Cause that one is kind of weird, right? That one is kind of weird, but it's great. It's kind of campy. I love it.
I cannot stand people that rain on weird quirky football traditions, because that's why it's better than the NFL. That's the whole half the reason right there.
Exactly. Like you guys have the streamers. No one else has ever thrown streamers before, right?
We created it.
Thing. It's only listen, it was really written in the stars. Rex Grossman was the Mr. Two Bits. I got to go to the game. You know, the Gators are back. I think the curse of the thrown shoe is lifted. It's gotta be. Florida hasn't beat LSU since that game happened. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's lifted and we can get back to regularly scheduled programming and just, you know, losing to Georgia like a regular team.
We want that for you, Logan.
That's all I got. Gainesville's lovely though. Great college town. Fun to walk around campus.
Yes, that is.
Awesome. Oh, side note, I think they redid the baseball and the softball complexes there. So nice. They got the stuff is nice.
Florida has the handy, everything being in the same place is very easy to make stuff look real nice. So as does, $200 million. But Florida has their Florida has their stuff planned out really well. And that's what's made it weird when they underachieve at stuff. It's just how do you come on, look at this. And so but yeah, Gainesville's delightful. Very glad you got to go.
There was a flyover too. That was cool. Love a low flying bomber coming right over the over the top of the stadium there.
Another opportunity for tingles.
Yeah. Anyhow, we were tingling, fully tingling. So, all right, let's move on. You guys were doing some traveling this week too, I think.
Yeah. So we were traveling, Jason. This being your trip primarily, why don't you control the narrative and I'll pepper in corrections. Bits of flavor as you desire and or need.
It was quite a week. I'll Cliff's Notes the origin story.
Thank you.
The golf scoring app that we all use to track our golf stats activities. And scores and everything. No free ads. I entered this random contest on it back in June. Where I was like, do you want to enter this? And all you have to do is play around. And also we'll send all your info to all these people. And I was like, fine, sure, whatever. And then about a month and a half ago, I got an email that said, congrats, you're a grand prize winner. And immediately sent it to our friend Jordan. Because I was like, this seems like a scam.
I hate for you that immediately good news is met with this has to be a scam.
No, that's not I don't think all good news hits me as this has to be a scam.
Okay.
I think when I get an email in my inbox with the subject line *, you're a grand prize winner *, I do naturally think that's a little bit of a scam.
But to their credit, it did make it through the spam filter.
It did, and that was the first warning bell, is that it did not get caught in Gmail's promotions folder.
The first warning bell that this could indeed be good news.
It was straight clean into the inbox. So I had a couple people look at it. It seemed all legit. I corresponded with some people, and they told me that I had been given a trip for two to Las Vegas for two nights and to play in some mystery pro-am, and it was great. And so more and more info kind of trickled out about it. It was the complex Michelob Ultra Open pro-am or something like that, associated with Complex Con, which was being held in Las Vegas. So
what is Complex?
So Complex is, I believe, some sort of media conglomerate, and I think that their maybe now defunct television channel is where Desus and Mero got break.
Yeah, kind of a culture content.
Finger on the pulse, pop culture type get up. So Complex Con was in Vegas. They were also kind of running alongside of it was Cactus Con, which was Travis Scott Central. But yeah, this this Pro-Am was the inaugural golf event that had a Malbon tie-in as well.
That's right.
Sick. Love that.
Given that it's a culture thing.
Yes. Given that there's lots, lots of people pushing the envelope of...
Like we said, finger on the pulse.
Disruptors. Disruptors. It was an event for disruptors.
Given the amount of disruption going on in the area. Okay.
So anyways, I as a savvy veteran of Las Vegas, I rung Jordan's bell to come with me and Sherpa me around. And I was kind of skeptical of the whole thing up until I started dropping my skepticism when they finally put out a press release about the event. And it was like, okay, this seems like an actual event. And so we made a bit of a week about it. We drove up to Northern Virginia on Tuesday and played a round of golf with a friend of the podcast, Brett Lehman, which was delightful.
Oh.
Always great to see our buddy. We hopped on a flight bright and early Wednesday and flew out to Vegas, got checked in to the Wynn, where they were putting us up for two nights, which was very nice.
Like how nice? Like extremely nice?
It's like, I mean, I defer to Jordan, but one of the nicer hotels in Vegas.
Yeah, so I...
Was it on your pantheon of hotels you've stayed
in? As a hotel veteran, being a college sports SID traveler, where does it rank?
It's top couple, probably top two or three hotels I've stayed in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Like
for me, it's probably the nicest room I've stayed in.
Yeah. It's pretty nice. And it would have been even nicer. It would have been even nicer if we'd have been on the other side of the hotel, not looking out over the entirety of the resort. But we did get the golf course right behind the resort, which was nice.
Yeah, we got to look at the course. Jason got to do some mental flyovers.
Had some scouting. Did some self-droning. So anyways, that takes us to the main event, which was Thursday. Thursday was just a surreal day. So I'm going to start laughing at several points through this description. Just bear with me. Let's see. Jordan and I, we were the first two to check in. At about 9:30 in the morning.
Call time check-in was 9:30. Yeah. So we thought, okay, let's get our boy acclimated to the environment. Let's get him some warm-up swings. So we headed down to the Wynn Golf Club, 9:30 sharp.
Yeah, so then we walked down to the Wynn Golf Club. They send us over to what is essentially like the nightclub in the Wynn Hotel.
One of them. So it was Mizumi is the restaurant on the top floor, and then there's a club called Intrigue in the basement.
Hell yeah.
A great name for a hotel nightclub is Intrigue. So we walk all the way across the hotel down to Intrigue and check in there and meet this tournament was a scramble. We knew that going in. It was a captain's choice tournament. And so we met my team's like hostess. Or whatever you want to call it. Ambassador. That's right.
Please respect the ambassador.
We said on that as the least problematic name.
I think she referred to herself as a stewardess.
Yeah. Capital A ambassador.
Yeah, that's right. They had like a very light breakfast laid out. You could get some pastries. I think Jordan, you had some coffee, right?
Yeah, I had two coffees and grabbed a pint of water for the road.
That's right.
Here's the thing about these events, and I tried to help Jason along these ropes, and for any of our listeners who find themselves fortunate enough to be in a similar position down the road, if there's stuff for free, just do it. Grab the extra water, like have a platter, get a cheese Danish, even if you're not a cheese Danish guy, like make them feel your presence.
That's right.
Y'all gonna feel my wrath.
they're gonna know Jason Craig was at this event.
Exactly.
So anyways, we sat there, and that's when we got our little info card to find out like who I had no idea who I would be playing with, who was at the event, all that.
Right.
There were on the info card there were 9 scramble teams and 6 pros. I guess
golf pros. Yes.
Yeah, actual professional golfers, one of whom was Mr. Kitayama.
Logan's favorite golfer.
Kurt Kitayama. There were four. I think there were four pros who literally just got their tour card going into the 2025 season.
Okay.
They'd all done the Korn Ferry, and then there was
young hitters.
Some young hitters, absolutely. And then there was a women's golfer who Jordan's familiar with, but I wasn't. Who plays on she plays on the LET tour, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So quite a crew, and then we looked down and we found my name, and it was a random guy who I met. His name was Jack, great guy. Former Milwaukee Bucks great Michael Redd was on my team.
I love that. Yeah,
which is delightful. And then
there's someone taller than you on your team, which is wild.
Yeah. And then I don't even remember the name of the entity that was the fourth name on there.
13th witness.
Yeah. 13th witness. Who I, being like 35 going on 95, I genuinely thought that he was just a witness and we were a team of three and he was just scoring our round.
Turns out exactly like, while we're like sitting in a nightclub booth at 9:45 in the morning, eating,
having coffee and
breakfast nibbles and sucking down the free coffee. And Jason's like, so I guess we just have three and like we're gonna alternate the fourth shot. I was like, no, he's probably like a musical artist.
Jordan was like, I think that's a guy.
Yeah, I looked him up. He's apparently a street photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, we sit there for about 45 minutes. Met a couple of the other actual like contest winners that I that won the same contest I did. And then they decided they were ready to take us out. So we walk all the way back across the hotel to the Wynn Golf Club, walk out the doors, and on the 18th tee box is just this giant hospitality zone set up, and there's a bunch of people taking pictures. 5 minutes after we walked out the door, J.R. Smith walked out the door and everybody goes crazy. And we knew he was playing.
Jordan's buddy.
Jordan's best friend, J.R. Smith.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the podcast.
Twice over, pretty much.
So we stand there. We stood there for probably like 5-10 minutes. And then they said that I was good to go like to the carts. So we walk out, find out that this 13th witness on our team has been replaced with, and I'm blanking on his name, which is bad.
Oh, you just tagged him in an Instagram.
I literally just tagged him in an Instagram post a couple hours ago. It's embarrassing.
Sean, it was Sean something, right?
Sean Malto, who is a professional skateboarder. And so he and Michael Redd were in a cart, and then me and a guy named Jack, who won a different contest, were in another cart. And so we get loaded up, and I go over and roll some putts and whatnot. And
how are you? How are you feeling, Jason? Are you like are you feeling a little frantic? Are you kind of like, are you just taking it all in? Like,
I'm not really. I think I was a little bit nervous, but then like we got out there and I was like, this is kind of a like kind of all over the place. So it kind of turned into bemused is probably the right thing. I told Jordan like I was nervous at first because I didn't know what was happening, but then once it became clear that it was all sort of patchwork together, like, yeah. I was much more nervous standing on the tee the second day of the Lakeview Amateur. Like, I just, it was, the nerves went away, and it was all kind of just like, this is really weird and funny and surreal, and so.
Yeah, that's the right attitude to have.
Love it.
Yeah, it was a great feel. So, anyways, we go off, we start on two, and the first like four holes were pretty uneventful. I think we made two birdies in the first four holes. So we're doing just fine. And then on eight, we get joined by a guy named Isaiah, whose last name I'm forgetting, but we'll be playing on the PGA Tour next year. He finished like 18th on the Korn Ferry Tour this year.
I believe his last name is Salinda.
That sounds correct. Yeah.
Okay.
He played at Danford, I believe. Anyways, the vibes were already very good. Michael Redd could not have been nicer. Sean was a great guy. Sean was a stick as well. Sean, I believe, was the club champion at his own club.
Nice. Played skateboarding, Sean. Like,
had some game. So he joins us, and basically all of the pros joined a team for four holes. Like every team got a pro for four of the holes, to just be as a fifth team member in the scramble. And so we birdied all four of the holes that Isaiah played with us. And like, dude, they just, and this is a guy who's like brand new onto the tour, Corn Ferry Tour, like just hits the ball different. Like it just sounds different coming off the middle of the driver face every single time.
Right.
And like, it's super fun to see. Like we had him for at least one par five, and like just smoothest 335 off the tee you'll ever see. Was like, I caught my drive and it was half a football field to his ball. And
did you feel the nerves change at all when the pro joined your group? Were you like, oh, I want to see how I stack up against Isaiah? Or was it like, oh, we can just ride him, I'm going to full send everything?
The first swing, so he joined us on a par three.
Okay.
And like stuffed it sit to 6 feet. And so it helped because like I did have a little bit of nerves, like, oh God, I got to show up. But then when he stuffed it for 6 feet, I was like, my shot doesn't matter at all. I'm not going to get inside that.
I either got to ace it or we're putting for birdie.
Right, exactly. And so I didn't hit green, but it was like,
you dunked it. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I just flew it straight in. But so it was, I think it was good to have that because by the time we were done with that hole, the vibes were good. And so I wasn't worried about it.
Were you disappointed that you didn't get to see Kurt Kitayama up close and sort of inspect his thing that he had going on?
We'll get to that
later.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Okay. I can't wait. But, actually.
So we birdie the four holes with him. The vibes are awesome. He was like, I think I'm done for the day. We were like, really? He's like, yeah, they told us to just play these four holes and then we were out. We were like, well, thanks, man. And like when he exchanged numbers with Mike Redd and with Sean, and the vibes were good. He did not exchange numbers.
Not with you.
He did not.
Do not blame him at all.
Mike Redd, I love it.
but we birdied those four holes, and then we just started like just draining putts from everywhere on the greens. And we birdied after those four holes. We birdied the next six, so we ran off 10 straight birdies.
Love that.
And about halfway through that stretch, I started getting
a traditional scramble setup.
Yeah, it was just a captain's choice scramble.
Right. No mulligans, no gimmicks, like straight American captain's choice.
Yep, it was delightful. And shouts out, we had two caddies. The one that I spent the most time with was named Sean, and that dude knows the exact read on every green to every pin. Like he would literally he'd get out and he'd like look at it, and he'd look at it from both sides and be like, cup out left, and I'd be like, really? It feels like it's further than that. He's like, no, cup out left. And we'd hit it cup out left.
I wish I could have been there when Jason's trying to argue with him.
It was exactly one time. I was like, are you sure about this? And then I was like, I'm an idiot. I should not argue with this guy.
Jason, who, look, I say this lovingly, but who asks me for reads when we play two-man tournaments.
Yeah.
And he's going to second-guess the caddy at the Wayne Golf Club.
I made that mistake exactly once, and we poured in a 25-footer, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
We agreed to never speak of it again.
Yep.
I say this with love. Nothing but love.
No, I can't read putts for anything. So, we just started like everybody on our team made like at least one 20 plus foot birdie putt in that stretch. Like it was a wild I guess we made our last birdie on 16. By 13 or 14, the caddies were just laughing at us. Like they were just like, Sean was like, I've caddied a whole lot of scrambles out here. I have never seen 10 straight birdies from any scramble team. Like, we weren't even, it wasn't like 4 foot birdie putts. We weren't stuffing wedges. It was, right. We just rolled in preposterous.
Rolling the rock.
And about halfway through the stretch, Jordan starts like the live scoring popped up on the TV screen.
Right.
And
yeah, so
Jordan, I
do want to interject here that I, the guest of the grand prize winner here, came into this trip thinking like, okay, the Wynn Golf Club has hosted some televised Capital One matches in the past. I've seen spectators line the fairways and walk this course. So I assumed like, oh, I'll get to just tag along with Jason's group and walk around and watch the golf happen. I either in the club intrigue or on the way to the course asked one of the ambassadors. So like, as a guest, what's the protocol for me following my buddy around? Like, do I get a cart? Am I just walking? They're like, no, you're just going to hang out in the Lexus lounge that's on the 18th tee. So they had all this like outdoor, like very nice set up, outdoor couches and high bar tops set up, a couple of open bars for like the 12 guests who were there. And then like, maybe 20 content media complex people to just hang out at, and about 20 ambassadors as well. So it was a real motley crew. But they did have TV screens on a couple of the bar areas that were showing live scoring of the event. So once I saw the live leaderboard pop up, I decided to provide intel to my guy on the course.
Yep.
Smart.
Which was very appreciated. And like, we just kind of, the first one you sent, we were in third, but like only one behind. We just kind of kept climbing. And like, by the time we got, so 17 finishes, like at the, like obviously the Lexus Lounge was on the 18th tee box. So 17 finishes there. That's where we broke the streak. We made par there. We left a birdie putt like half an inch short. And we came through, and it was basically like, okay, if we par the last two, like if we par 18 and one, like we'll easily win this thing. Cause I think when we came through 18, which was our 17th hole, a couple groups were already done. And everybody else obviously only had like one, maybe two holes left. So they would have needed an eagle or something if we just made pars. So the fun thing about the 18th is that's where Kurt Kitayama was posted up, just hitting tee shots for every group. And the 18th is a challenging par three. And it was
par three 18th. I like that.
Yeah. That's probably the signature hole, right, Jordan?
Yeah, it's kind of their gimmicky hole too, because it's like they've got the water feature behind the green.
Yeah.
And when you're playing your own ball there, if you make an ace on 18, you get a payout of X amount of dollars depending on which tees you're playing from.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the like the twist of spice they put on their 18th hole there.
Yeah.
Did you tell Kurt about the 18th at the Florida Club and how it's a diabolical test?
I didn't.
Yeah, I actually, in between groups, I pulled it up on the Grint and asked him, like, so Kurt, how would you play this? This is my buddy's home club, but only during the summer.
There's an internal OB left. So you can't actually play it up number one fairway.
I'm curious how you would attack.
The mega angle would be just bang it up number one fairway and have a clear shot at things with no water cover.
So anyways, I think, like Jordan said, Kurt basically like trunk slammed it and just rolled onto the 18th tee and started hitting six irons for people. And when I got there, Jordan was like, he's hit every single one of these six irons on this exact line, just like a difference of like 5 or 10 yards.
I pointed out kind of the rock and the cluster of tall grass in front of the water feature that he was on, and said he's going to put it here. It'll just be a varying depth in terms of distance.
And he did. He put it on that exact line. And so our caddy shot it, and it was, I think it was 196 flag, 193 to cover the bunker. It was a back
pin. Left pin. It was an SOB of a pin.
Yeah, it was a back left pin tucked. And so I think I think Michael Redd hit it first and hit it to like the very front of the green. So we would have had like a 50-foot birdie putt. And so I took 5-iron and I hit like a 5-iron cut of my life, like right over the pin, and it rolled out a little bit to the back fringe. It was actually closer than Kitayama's shot, but it was on the fringe, so I didn't win what contest they were doing. So I was very ecstatic with that. Jordan was nice enough to get some video. But anyways, we made par there, and we made an uneventful par on one, and came back, and we won the thing by 3 shots. We shot 12 under, and second place was 9 under.
That's awesome.
And so we were very excited. It was awesome. Like, it was such a fun day. The vibes were great all day. Like, an easy way to make really good scramble vibes is to make a lot of birdie putts, obviously. But
I've never experienced that. I wouldn't know how that goes.
I hope to one day experience this.
Fair. Rolling in a bunch of
If you can do it at the win too, I recommend that. But it was a super fun day. Like, it was, you know, Sean was probably the best player in our group, but like we took 10, 12 shots from everybody. It was a really fun, like, spread it out, lots of dapping up, lots of high fives. Super fun. And then we got announced at the little awards ceremony after and got brought up on stage and
gave us... It should be noted that after the golf tournament, they ushered us back to Club Intrigue for dinner and the closing ceremonies.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Was dinner, was elite? Are we talking elite dinner spread or?
It was pretty strong.
I mean, it was good, but it was like kind of buffet station.
Oh, okay.
Of yeah. Types of food. We weren't having like sit down ribeyes, but
roast beast, if you
they
will.
They had some solid brisket. They had some really good creamed corn. They had some tacos. They had some pasta.
Corn and pasta.
Yeah.
It
was a lot.
Jordan, how many free bevies did you mow through
at the
Lexus Lounge? Because Jordan, you won some garb at the Lexus Lounge, right?
That's
you
true.
Were the only one.
So at this point, meanwhile, in the Lexus Lounge, I had sent you guys a picture of the cocktail menu, I think, at the cocktail bar. I ended up with the double eagle for the duration of the tournament. That was Logan. You had mentioned in the text that it was indeed Tequila Thursday.
Yeah.
So I ran with that. I went with the double eagle, which was Casamigos Reposado infused with red chili, agave, and fresh lime. It was so good.
I bet.
There were some people who just like saw infused with red chili and they were like, oh, but it's so spicy, isn't it? I was like, no, it is the perfect amount of just like a little kick on the back end. So I had several of those throughout the
right.
day of golf.
Right.
That, but I was responsible.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
I made use of the amenities, but I was responsible. They also had in the Lexus Lounge, they had this like hole in or like a mini golf hole kind of set up in the middle of the thing. And they had a couple of putters laying next to it and a big box of range balls. And so I thought like, oh, it's just, you know, if people want to mess around and roll some putts in, they can do that.
Right.
So I get on to the plywood and like just start rolling putts, and it, like immediately I stand on the board and one of these ambassadors like pulls the pin for me, and I was like, well, this is like, first of all, you guys have way too many of you around here.
Too many ambassadors.
It's fine. So I start rolling putts, and I've like my eighth or ninth, I finally make it. This is probably about a 15 or 20 foot putt on like kind of wavy mini golf astroturf.
Okay.
So I finally make one, and she's like, oh, you made a hole in one, you get, you know, something from the merch corner. And I was like, hell yeah, dude,
you
I
made a hole in one corner. You could just sit there all day just knocking it.
So I think, and there's gonna be more on this later, I think the intention of the promotion was, if you make your very first putt,
right,
you get to pick something from the corner.
Right.
But they had no intention of like packaging this stuff back up. So it was like, you make a putt, you can go to the corner and pick something. She's like, all right, we have like golf gloves. We have these balls, which Jason got some of, but they were like no brand name. They just had a Michelob and a Malbon stamp on them. She's like, we have these hats.
Heart of the rock.
A Lexus logo on a dad hat. She's like, or we have these Malbon sweaters, which are like retailing for $130.
Yeah, let me see the sweater. Bring me the sweater.
So I go over to the sweater table, pick up one of those. At lunch, I ran that up to the room, came back down, and a few hours later, I think Jason's on his last third or fourth hole. By this point, naturally, I've befriended one of the ambassadors and got to chatting with her, asked like, you know, are you guys getting any merch from this? And she was like, no, we don't get jack squat. And I was like, okay, well, let me do something nice for you. What size would you be? And so,
what a move, God, yeah, this guy.
So, man of the people, I waited for the kind of ambassador shift at the putting green to change. I went over
fueled by chili infused reposado.
I think I'm four and a half double eagles at this point.
All right, sweetheart, let me go get my putter. I'm gonna go get my putter from my room, and then I'm really gonna start banging these things in.
Feeling strong as an ox. Shout out to Stevie. Finally, I again roll in like my seventh putt, And they're like, oh, great, you win something from the merch. So I go and grab my friend a sweater. And we went back to Club Intrigue for dinner and saw Jason's word presentation, had some dinner and some bevvies after that.
Love it.
It was great. It was a great day.
What a day. A tremendous day in life. Also, guys, you know, you think you guys are having a good time. While you guys were doing this, I was in Boston learning how to give client-centered presentations. All right. So, like,
we'll call it a draw. Yeah. It's pretty tight.
We can call it a draw. You know, I was walking through Chinatown with my bag looking for noodles. You know, I found the noodles.
It's good.
So,
congrats.
It was good.
Anyways, that was my Thursday golf experience. It was very surreal.
You guys played a couple other times while you were out there, yeah?
Just one other time.
Oh, just one other time.
One other round on Friday. Switched hotels that evening.
Okay. Didn't want to.
For frugal purposes.
Yeah, right. We came off the contest's dime, so we changed hotels.
Yeah, for lodging. They still flew us home graciously.
Yeah.
And I caught a blackjack heater of epic proportions on Friday night.
Wow.
To pull me from the pits of getting felted to in the black, and then we flew home Saturday.
Yeah.
Sick.
It was great.
What a time. What a great, like, you know, 6-day run for the podcast, you know?
Yeah. The boys had themselves week.
We covered a lot of area. We beat
the hell out of November.
We experienced some things. Yes.
I told you guys on Twitter that we weren't recording and we would be back on Monday with stories. We have stories. That's what happened.
Wait until I tell you guys about the Atlanta Aquarium next time we record. Okay. It's gonna be look up. Just kidding. I'm going to the Atlanta Aquarium next weekend, though. So
it's delightful.
Side note, in case you're wondering. Cool. All right. Well, shout out Jason. So, I mean, is there, you don't get invited back because you were on the winning team or anything like that? Did you ask?
I think it was right after. So, Jordan sort of introduced himself, and I introduced him to Michael Redd afterwards. Yeah. And Jordan empathized with him for having to put up with me for 18 holes, and Michael had
no,
my
but
back.
See, and again, let me interject here.
A classic.
This is the loving your golf buddy, like you self-deprecate, but you deprecate your golf buddy of like, oh, thanks for putting up with him. Thanks for shouldering the load for 18 holes.
That's great.
I do it all year type thing.
Right.
Again, out of love.
Always
it was good-natured ribbing, and Michael appreciated it and defended me as a good friend. Because I think we're best friends now, good friend would. But right after that,
cooking in Club Intrigue,
always. Right after that, I walked over to our direct host, the guy who
your liaison,
the guy who I had been emailing with, and I was like, "Hey, do you like need us for anything else? Like, I had to sign all these forms saying that you could use my name, image, and likeness. Like, am I actually needed for any of that?" He's like, "No, you're good." I was like, "Cool, awesome," He was like, "Congrats on winning, man. That's awesome." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm going to make sure you guys get to come back next year and defend your title." And I was like, "Just say the word, buddy. I'll put it on the calendar."
Let's go.
So we'll see if that comes true.
So, Jason, I think the move is now to set a calendar alarm for yourself for like mid-August.
Yeah.
And just say like, "Hey, you know, I saw Complex Con this year is scheduled for da-da-da-da.
Complex Con.
Getting the boys back together, right?
Yeah. I just wanted to follow up on the scramble invite that you kind of put forth after we won last year.
Graciously extended in Club Intrigue.
Assuming this includes two guests now because we are the defending champions.
Oh, see, yeah, now we're talking. Jordan's inviting his friend from the merch table. Yeah.
No, she'll be there again. No, we're bringing Logan this time.
Yeah, we're talking about you, man. We got to spring you out of there.
God, just get me in the room with the visor on.
That's what I'm saying.
Working it.
Dude, you would have thrived. You would have thrived in this environment, Logan.
They're going to rename the Lexus Lounge the Logan Lounge. You know?
The Lagwan Lounge. We're going to drink them dry. Drink them dry, Double Eagles.
They used to call me the Double Eagle back in college. It's crazy. Caw-caw. They call me Marahute, actually, is what they call me.
Anyway.
No, that's good great. Time. Oh, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I was actually, I had that fleeting thought, Jason. I was like, I wonder if, like, because he won, I mean, like, you gotta have get some sort of, like, I mean, like, defending champion of this, like, made up thing.
Yeah, so you did get, like, a mini replica trophy.
So we got, there was the main trophy, which is
incredible.
The main trophy, I'm not joking, was like 40 pounds. It was like made of iron. It was so heavy.
Oh, solid gold.
Lord willing. But we let my guy Jack, who was in the car with me, take that back to Boston with him. But we all got little mini, I guess they weren't the same exact as the trophy, but they're essentially a trophy modeled after a Mick Ultra can and a koozie.
Which like satellite trophies.
Just is it delightful.
A tremendous thing. Like that thing going, needs to be proudly displayed.
Going right on the, it's probably going right under the TV in the living room, if we're being honest. So yeah, but that was the only like tangible difference. We got a little gift bag of, I think one of the, it was basically the same sweater you won, wasn't it, Jordan?
Yeah, same model. You got the cream color. I got black. That's right. Got my friend a cream one.
I got a little, I got a little, one of the rope hats.
Oh, Jason, you're stepping into a new era. This is a new era for Krecky here.
It's daunting.
He's gonna be fully kitted. He's gonna be full kit wanker Krecky here. It's gonna be great. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, anyways, a great day. I got to. It was just super fun. It was very like, I remember like we walking out of Club Intrigue to head back to the room to shower and decide what we were doing with the evening. I was just like, that was like the most surreal 9 hours of just like,
yeah,
just that's along awesome. The ride.
Yeah, it's like the life. Most like, yeah, this isn't real. But this is fun as hell.
Like if you were making up a like semi plausible but preposterous story, it would sound a lot like, yeah, you won a pro am alongside Michael or Milwaukee Bucks great Michael Redd. I mean,
it is. Yeah, it is very like Detlef Schrempf was there. You know, like this is
it's an entertainment 720
joint
storyline. Yeah,
very much.
Yeah. You just need Complex to hang on for another 365 days.
famed actor Anthony Anderson was in one of the groups. Just the usual semi-famous folks.
Who was the most like notable person that was there?
Probably JR.
I think it depends on like what corner of the world you come from.
I'm old, so
JR is probably the most recognizable name. Nigel Sylvester was also on the list. He is also a pro skateboarder who has several signature shoes with Nike. Malbon creator Stephen Malbon was in attendance and playing with JR.
Nigel Sylvester, are you is it Nigel Houston?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of somebody different.
Eric Costin was there. He's my generation of skateboarders.
Eric Costin he's a big Tony Hawk pro skater too. I know Nigel Houston has like a full line of shoes with Nike and they're sweet.
Yeah.
But BT Dubs, Jordan.
And Eric Wareheim was also there. I saw him put a shot into the water on 18. So he is the large Caucasian actor who is Aziz Ansari's character's best buddy in Master of None.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
What a throwback.
Yeah. So it was a crew of semi-famous names.
And our guy, podcaster, notable podcaster.
Notable wheel route track pod member.
Lefty.
That's awesome.
The big lefty.
Well, I'm glad.
Michael Redd also left-handed, just so we're clear.
Ooh, that is good. I'm glad you guys that you stuck it out and actually did it. That's sweet. That's sweet that it worked out.
I'll credit Jordan with just being like, "No, man, just do it, just do it." Like repeatedly told me.
Yeah,
just go for it.
Yep. Not that, it was never like I think I actually did win this, but I don't think I want to do it. It was constantly just like I'm not sure this exists, and Jordan was like, "Just do it. Like if it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist." But like. So,
yeah, let them fold. Call their bluff.
Exactly. Sweet. Very, very wonderful few days. On my first ever trip to Las Vegas, donated some money at the blackjack table. Really, I paid the deposit into the bank of luck for Jordan to withdraw from, as it should be.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I'd be lost ball, big time lost ball, high weeds on the table scene.
On the tables. They're good times.
We'll get you out there at some point.
Out there on the table.
The boys are gonna have a desert golf trip at some
need
point.
To. We gotta make it happen. So.
Yes. I gotta wet the beak at the sports book too. It's really really weird.
So we spent a couple. We had what, three or four?
As long as there's a Liam Neeson movie on one of the screens, I'm good. Yeah, to,
that's right.
I did take Jason to that book.
Yeah, we had three or four stops in the sports book just to hang and observe.
That's awesome.
We watched Commanders Eagles in the sports book at the Wynn Thursday night.
That was a tough one for the boys. But, you know,
the boys may have taken a bath on that one, but you know,
Blackjack got it back. Yeah.
Awesome, sweet. Well, hey, you know, I was happy. I'm glad we got to do this. I'm glad we had a week. I'm glad both of our like weird weeks aligned. You know, and we
worked out great
together. You know, I won't bore you guys. I did finish Stranger Things. I hadn't watched the rest of Stranger Things season whatever before, so you know, I'm blocked back in. If anybody
ready for the next one,
yeah, ready for the next one. Ready to wait 2 years to watch that one too. You know how I operate. I'm on a bit of a lag here.
You guys call you lag one.
You guys seen this movie Point Break? It's crazy. It's so good.
Wild.
It's so good. All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about? I think we should be back to normally regularly scheduled programming, at least for some of this week. And then, you know, we got Thanksgiving upon us next week. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the Will Rob podcast. If this is your first time listening, God bless you for making it through this one. We'll be back with more college football chatter, I'm sure, to weigh you down soon. You can find us online. As you know, as I've mentioned, thewheelroute.com, that's the website. You can see the picks spreadsheet there. You can stream the show there. You can go back into the archives there, do deep dive, you know, fact-checking type things there. Otherwise, you can send us emails, thewheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. And until we meet again, we love you guys. Go Gators.
Go. Who?
Go Dukes.